Okay, good evening, everyone. This is, I think, will be the just the, you know, the final shiur. But now on Borer, of course, there's plenty more to learn about Borer, but it was never the intention to cover the whole gamut, just to get a taste of it. And as I said, you know, to speak a little bit about Shabbos and Yontif, which we did mostly last week. But I want to talk about a few specific points tonight. First of all, there's a case, let's call it a famous case in Hilchos Borer, and that is the case which the Taz discusses, the case of a zvuv, a fly, or more than one fly, which falls into a liquid, into a cup of liquid, into a bowl of soup. And the question is, what is the proper procedure to be able to remove that on Shabbos without violating a sibora? Clearly, the zvuv, the fly, is a psolas, it's an unwanted matter, and the soup, let's talk about the bowl of soup, the soup is the wanted matter, and we know that you can't, on Shabbos at least, we've learned very clearly on Shabbos, you can't take the psolas out of the ochel, even if you want it for immediate use, and even if you use your hands, you can only take ochel away from psolas. The only heter of taking psolas from ochel is when the psolas is a klipa, when the psolas is a peel or a shell around the ochel, such as in the case of a hard-boiled egg or a banana or these similar things, where the only practical way of eating it is by removing the psolas. There you are allowed to. You're allowed to remove the psolas because, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the whole idea, what distinguishes between permissible forms of selecting on Shabbos and non-permissible is that if the permissible forms is when it's derech achila, that's the normal way of eating, and the non-permissible is when it's typically something which is not derech achila, but it's derech malacha. It's sort of not called eating, it's called preparing the food. So typically eating is you take what you want from what you don't want. If you take what you don't want, that's typically called preparing food, not eating food. But when what you don't want is a klipa, it's something that completely encompasses the food and it's necessary to take it away, so that's called derech achila, it's called eating. Okay, but with a fly in the soup, it's not that way. That's a tip. That's a classical case of psolas and ochel. And so to pick out the fly seemingly would be an isser. So the Taz says the way to do it is to take out the fly with some of the mashke. Take a spoon, for example, take a spoon and lift off a spoonful of soup with the fly in it and discard that, and then that's mutter to do, and you can eat the soup. So what's the heter for doing that? So there in the Achronim, there are two ways. There's the way the Mishnah Berurah, and I think others learn, and then the Chazon Ish has a different, more unique way of understanding the Taz. According to the Mishnah Berurah, the concept is a very broad concept, and that is that the Yisr of Borer is separating solas from Ochel, and unwanted material from the wanted, or vice versa. But here, you didn't do that. If you took a spoonful of soup with the fly, so you didn't take psolas from ochel, you took a mixture of psolas and ochel away from the ochel. You took some of the ochel with the psolas. The ochel is the soup, and not just the very minimum amount that would by force come along with the fly, but you took an amount, a little more generous amount. You dipped a spoon into the soup and picked up some soup, which you didn't necessarily, if you want, during the week, if you wanted to remove the fly, you wouldn't need to do it that way. You wouldn't need to take that much. Maybe when you pick up the fly, you'll get a drop of soup with it, but you won't get this much. So you intentionally took extra soup. So now you've taken away a mixture of psolas and ochel. So then that's not called borer. You didn't separate ochel from psolas. You took a taruvis. So that's the way the Mishnah understands it. Now, according to that, I mean, I don't know what you say this with the Mishnah, but this is, let's say, the more typical way of understanding it. The Achronim say, the Marsham, looking at the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, of course, the Marsham, for example, who says that the Kohen Rabos, there are, you know, many, many examples like this, that when you're not taking one min from the other simply, but you're taking a mixture of the two minim, the good and the bad together, then that's not called borer. And so according to that, you could do that even if it's more than one fly. Let's say a number of flies fell into the soup and you're still interested in eating it, you're able to get them all out. And so that there's no question, you're not worried about that you're going to be eating a creature, which you're not allowed to do. And also the soup still has an appeal to you. So you could do that, pull them out, each one of them this way. But the Chazon Ish has difficulty with this, understanding. And the Chazon Ish taina is that if you're going to, even if you take the psalms and ochel out together, but your kavana is to be misaking the bowl of soup. Your kavana is to fix up the bowl of soup to make it edible and kosher to eat and appealing to eat, etc. And you've done that. You've done that by separating, by taking away what you need to. So even if you took some of the soup with it, so even if you took a mixture, but by taking away that mixture, you have now if you to view the whole soup, the fly is mixed, is considered ma'urav, is considered mixed with the whole bowl of soup. So by taking away the fly, even with a spoonful of soup, so you've taken away that part of the mixture, and now the rest of what was originally a mixture is now perfectly clean and edible. So you've accomplished the goal of borer. So Mali, what does it help that, in fact, the Chazon Ish, what does it help that I take away some of the psolus with some of the ochel with the psolus, but by doing that, I'm separating the psolus and ochel combination from the ochel, and then I've been misaking the ochel, so that's mamish the zubara. So why would that be mutter? So the Chazon Ish understands that that's not the Taz's heter, and that's not what the Taz means, and the Chazon Ish says that really the way to look at it is that the fly is not considered mixed with the entire bowl of soup. It's like the Chazon Ish, a fly in a bowl of soup is one fly, let's say it's one fly or one small, item, one smallish item like that. But certainly it would be a bigger item, but one item like that in a bowl of soup, in a mashka, a solid in a liquid is quite noticeable, quite distinguishable, discernible from the mashka. So, it's not a taruvah, says the Chazon Ish. That's not considered a mixture. We said back at the beginning of borer is that in order to have a situation in borer in front of you, you have to have a taruvah. You have to have a mixture of two or more minim. If things aren't considered mixed, then there's no issue of borer. So the Chazon Ish says that the fly is not considered mixed with the mashke. The soup is the soup, and the fly is the fly. It's not viewed as a taruvah. So what then is the whole problem? So it's not a taruvah, so just take it out. If you have these two things here and they're not mixed, so I could take, I want one, I don't want the other, I could take away the one I don't want, they're not mixed, it's not a taruvah. So why can't I take the fly out of the soup? Why does the Taz say you need to take some of the soup with you? So it says the Chazon Ish, because the fly, it is mixed with the little bits of soup that will cling to its body on the back of the fly's wings and between his antennas or whatever body parts of the fly, there is a little bit of soup that it's taka mixed with the little part of the small amount of the soup that clings to the body. That's a taruvus. And if you're going to attempt just to pick up the fly, then most likely that even some of that is going to slip off as you take the fly out. That's going to slip off into your bowl of soup. And then you're going to have taka done borer by selecting the fly from that tiny drop of soup that it's attached to. So Mimela says the Taz, that's why the Chazon Ish, says the Chazon Ish, that's why the Taz gives the Eitzah, use a spoon and pick up some mashke. This way, you're removing the entire taruvus. Not like we said till now, that you're removing a taruvus. You're removing, really, the fly, the first way of looking at it, the fly is mixed with the entire bowl of soup. And that whole thing is one big taruvus. But as long as I take psolus and ochel together, I've taken a mixture of both, so then that's not called borer, because I didn't take psolus from ochel. I took psolus and ochel, and left behind ochel. No, says the Chazon, that would be borer. But the pshat is when I took out the fly with the soup on the spoon, says the Chazon Ish, I've taken away the entire taruvus. The rest of the soup is never part of the taruvus. So it's not borer. The only borer would be if I would try to pick up the fly by itself and behechrich, whether I as careful as I'm going to be, the little bits of soup which are clinging to the fly are going to fall back into the soup. That would be borer because of the tiny drop of soup that's mixed with the fly. So I pick it up with a spoon. I've removed the entire taruvis, and that's my problem. So a big nafkamina. So I say, okay, this lump, this that lump, this is, just give me my spoon. And what's the difference? They'll let the lomdim figure it out. The tas said I could do it. But nafkamina is if you would have multiple flies, again, and assuming you'd be interested in drinking the soup, so the Chazinish says that would be a problem because that's already a taruvis. One fly floating around in the soup is not, and maybe two flies, and depending on if it's a huge soup, so three, you can have depending on the size. But once you have a stand up bowl of soup and you have a number of flies, you have five, six, I don't know what the number is, but you have a number of flies inside it, that's taka taruvis because you have fly soup, you have that's already a mixture. That's people perceived as you have a buggy soup, and it's a buggy soup now. It's not a bug in the soup, or it's not a few bugs in the soup. It's a buggy soup. That means it's a mixture of bugs and soup. So mimela, you can't do according to the other way of learning. You can still do it as long as you take out each one with some soup. All we're concerned about is that you don't just take away psalas from ochel. You take away psalas and ochel from ochel, or from psalas and ochel. Take one fly with a spoonful of soup. You left behind some more flies and more soup. That's okay. All you've done is divided the taruvis into two at that point, right? You have now one taruvis of a little bit of fly, a little bit of soup with one fly, and you have behind you in the bowl some more soup with five more flies. Okay, so you just separated half. It's just like divided in half. And then you do it again and again. But according to Chazanish, no. You can only do it if you have only one fly or just a couple of flies so that where they're still not considered mixed with the soup. Because the Lashon and the Taz thing is zvuvim, plural. But even Chazanish, it's fine. It can be plural. It just can't be, it can't be enough that it's considered, that they're all considered mixed with the soup. So, okay, and of course, nafkaminas would be in other cases too. In other cases where even if you had just one thing, but where it's clearly considered mixed, if you have a case where you can't say it's not ma'urav, it is ma'urav with everything, a case like that, the chazanish would be usher. Just simply taking away some ochel with the psal is not going to work. But in many of the cases, the chazanish will still say that the taruvis might be only the part that the psalas is actually attached to. So like different cases when you cut off a piece of, you have some psalas and something, you cut off the piece of psalas, let's say you have a knish, and it's you have the, and the, there's a spot on it which is very, very badly burnt, the point where it's not edible. That spot is not edible. Or you have something with mold in it, maybe. You have a piece of food, and there's a small part of it with mold on it. So there too, let's say a fruit. And so, but it's, the rest of the food is perfectly fine, and you just want to get rid of the mold. During the week, you would just try to cut off just the mold itself. Even during the week, you probably got a little bit with it. That's, so on Shabbos, so according to the first way of learning, you certainly can do that, just cut it off with, just take off a piece of the fruit itself, a little bit more than you like have to, a little bit more than it automatically clings to the mold, to the moldy part. Take a little bit more, and that'll be fine. So according to the first way of learning, it'll be fine because you took off psalas and ochel. According to the Chazanish's way, also that would probably, we'd only look at the mold. The mold's not ma'ur for the entire fruit. It just, it's stuck here in the one corner. And then it's not mixed with the whole fruit. So if you cut off the mold with the piece of part of the fruit it's stuck to, then that's the entire taruvis. And we mutter to do. Or a third example would be if you have a challah or another piece of fruit or another food, it could be a fruit also with a sticker on it. There's Israel, some challahs come with stickers, I think. It's all the bakeries, some of the bakeries. But in America now, just about every single piece of fruit, other than grapes, maybe grapes and cherries, other than that, everything comes with a sticker on it, right? You buy an apple, you buy a peach, little stickers on it. So b'pshuto shel davar, l'chara, just to simply peel off the sticker would not be okay, even though these stickers sometimes, you know, they could peel off without, they make them, but they peel off easily, right? Typically, without pulling off any part of the fruit. But l'chara on Shabbos, you can't do that. Now, if the entire fruit was covered with stickers, then that would be a klipa. That would be like an eggshell or an orange peel, banana peel. Then you'd be allowed to do it because you can't get to the food without taking it. But one sticker on a piece of fruit, l'chara doesn't have the heter of klipa because you could easily eat it. You could eat around it. In fact, I mean, sometimes people just do that during the week. They don't bother, taking it off. Just eat around it and finish and discard that little piece. So it's hard to say that that has the heter of klipa, I believe, and therefore you would want to take it off. If you would want to take it off, you would have to employ this method of taking it off together with a piece of the actual food. And again, it would work like either hesver, either would be considered taking ochel psalas together from psalas, which is okay, or like the chazanish, you're taking the entire taruvus. It's only ma'urav with the part of the fruit or the part of the challah that's stuck to it. It's not considered ma'urav with the entire challah or the entire fruit, and that would be okay. Now,
if a person has a bowl of soup and there's a pot in it, let's say I stick the spoon underneath and then I'm pouring the soup out, it wasn't considered oichel mitoch soot. Instead of pouring the fly out of the spoon, I'm just going to place the spoon underneath. I'm not going to move. And I'm going to, one motion, remove the bowl of soup.
Would that be all from Solas? Some of that would. So what do you gain that way? I mean, this way you could just hold on to the fly itself. I mean, fix that at muksa. Leave me on muksa for a second. You just hold the fly. You don't have to, you don't want to waste any of the soup. You want every bit of soup. So you just want to contain the fly and pull out the bowl. It's not going to be so easy to do that, I think. But and once you have it on a spoon already, then you don't need to buy, just do it the other way. Now, the interesting thing I just want to point out is that this halacha is brought in the Mishnah Berurah also in Hilchos Yontif. He brings down this taz in the midst of Hilchos Yontif, and he says when by Borah and Yontif, and he says that you should do this on Yontif as well, take it out with a spoon of soup. And there's a discussion this far, like why is that necessary? You know, we discussed it last week, the yesodos of Hilchos Borah and Yontif. We mentioned the machlokas between the Chayyadim and the Shulchan Aruch Rav as to what the underlying yesod of the differences are. According to Chayyadim, it was much more chomer than anything which is a derech to do b'chol, typically would be aser. But according to the graz, it was mutter. So certainly according to the graz, it's the question is like why should it be necessary to do this? It's not something that's nearer that you've been borer liyam and rabim. That was the only aser. It's nearer that you're doing borer for a long period of time, which is not the case here. With the chayadam, maybe it's more understandable. It's the derech to do it, bechol, then you can't do it. So if the derech is to simply just remove the fly, maybe it would work like chayadam. We did mention though that I mentioned a number of pesukim. The minhag olam is like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that we don't ask for anything that's the derech chol as long as it's not near a kibar liyam and rabim on yomtiv. So for that, it should be moved to it the other way, but Mishmur is so same here. He doesn't make a money, just so same. He says, on Yantif as well, you should do it the way the Taz said, by taking out a spoonful of with it. Okay. Next point I want to discuss in Bar, which is a very common thing, but tell you what, before I go there, I'll bring in another point. We discussed the Bar by silverware, which many say that if you have forks, knives, and spoons just strewn together, not neatly arranged, but strewn together, then it's considered borer to separate them. And as such, you would only be allowed to do so la'alter. You'd be able to do some when you're preparing the suit, and you're going right to eat the suit as soon as you finish preparations. But you wouldn't be able to set up a suda like that, with borer in advance. Certainly not Friday night for Shabbos morning, and not even Shabbos morning for later on if you're not ready to start the Suda. So there is one Eitzah, though, which Moshe Feinstein writes in a Tshuva, and others allow, and that is to, if you could undo the Taruvis without doing a Maisa Borer, then that's okay. So how do you do that? How do you undo the Taruvis of doing Borer? If you take this, the silverware is in a bucket or in a whatever it may be, and you take it and you fling it along a long table or such in a way that it scatters. In like one motion, you fling it out so that it scatters. Now that itself, what Moshe is saying, is not considered a maisa borer, because you didn't select and you didn't even separate. You didn't go and pick out, take out the spoons and set up spoons, forks, and knives. You didn't do that. You just scattered it. in a way that everything just randomly separated. See, if you go over to the terubas and you pick up one thing, even if you say, I'll pick up whatever comes. I don't care. I pick up one thing. And then you put it where you need it. You put it on the table, or even if you put it in the drawer, you know, in a spoon sleeve, then that, poskim say, is bar. That is bar, because that's called miyun. It's separating things by the min. You're not taking necessarily och from salsa. You are being mamaya, and you're separating things by the min. But this, you're not separating by the min. So the point is there, even though you didn't, you said, it's not like I aimed and said, oh, here, looking for a spoon, taking a spoon, another spoon. No, I just took it, whatever. Fine, but you took whatever you want to just to separate it. Now, by the way, even there, if you're, let's say you're washing silverware or drying silverware, which is washed already, which you washed it Friday night because you can use it Shabbos morning, you washed it with cold water and, you didn't use any forbidden soap and you did it in a way, 100% mutter. And now you want to dry it. Why do you want to dry it? Because you don't like if it just sits wet and dries by itself, it stains it, and you don't want watermarks on your silverware. Maybe you have more chashav of silver, whatever it is. And so you want to dry each piece. And it's convenient, if it's truly convenient, the easier way to dry it is by picking up a few pieces which are the same and drying them. They could dry a few knives at a time. If I take a handful of the mixture, it's hard, it's not as easy. If I take a few knives or a few spoons, it's easy to dry. So then that is mutter to do, because then I'm picking out the spoons for, this is what many say, that it's mutter to do that because I'm picking out the spoons on Manas to dry them right now, to function them. Once they're separate, then you don't have to throw them back in, then you could leave them separate. And you could leave the spoon separate and leave the fork. And now you've also, in a sense, you've separated everything. But if you truly your kavana was to dry it in a more efficient manner, or even if washing it, let's say to wash it, it's easier to wash like pieces together. So then if that's your kavana, so then many say that would be mutter. Now, when we discussed last week, shita that's Chara would not agree to this at all. We mentioned a shita that you have to look at the ultimate goal, right? We said, if you want to cut up cake, quoted from Rav Shlomo Miller, that if you want to cut up cake, and then, for later in the day, not for now, for later in the day, and the knife that you need to use is, or that you wish to use, is mixed in a mixture of other things. He said, you can't do barer to take the knife out, even though I want to use the right knife right now. I want to use the knife to cut up the cake, and that's finished, and I'm finished with the knife. But he said, and now I'm doing right away. He said, no, that doesn't help, because you cutting up the cake is for later. So even though I want to do it, the pu'ula with the knife now, but he said, you have to look at the ultimate goal. What's the ultimate goal? Why are you cutting up the cake? Cut up the cake to use it later, so it's considered being barred for later. So by washing the silverware, you probably say the same thing. I'm washing the silverware so that I could use it for the meal, the morning meal. That's why I'm washing it. So you say, okay, but I need it right now. In order to wash it, I need to select it right now. But Lachari would say that doesn't help. Drying it, maybe yes. Maybe I'm really drying it. Why I'm drying it? I don't want it to get ruined. So you say, well, why did you want to get ruined? So you could use it later. I don't know. You could maybe say, I don't want to get ruined, because it's a shud. It's about tashkis. I have good looking silver. I don't want it to get, to get stained, to get messed up. It's not love davku because I want to use it later. I want to be shomer my moment. So they placed it, maybe just, thinking on the spot as we learn here, perhaps he would say that is mutter. I don't know. I didn't see what he would say. I don't know. But others say, the whole knife case was a chiddush. And others say, but say this heter by the silver. Okay, but getting back to Ramesh's heter, Ramesh's situation, you're not using it for anything right now, drying, washing, nothing, but you're not separate, you're not selecting a piece and then saying, okay, this is a spoon, put it here, another piece of fork, put it here. You're just you're doing a maisa which undoes the terubas. Now, there are those that disagree with this. I believe I think it brings from Rabbi Yashiv that this is usher to do, because this itself is considered a ma'aser barer. It's that we don't look at it as just a ma'aser undoing, as I'm using the lash, undoing the terubas that burn. You are being barer. That itself, that undoing of terubas is barer. So it says not to do it, but machlokes is pesach, Ramesh holds you're allowed to do this. And this would be an etza, how you can get the silverware ready and be able to set the table. Okay, now the last thing here I want to talk about is barer by svarim. So many poskim say, Rashi says this in Chazanish and others. Let's say you have a shelf of sarim, and they're not arranged in any specific order. They're arranged haphazardly. And you want a particular sefer. So as long as the sfarim are marked, they're labeled. Notice how you can see. I see exactly what it is. I can see the label. I can see the name of the sefer. And I can find what I want that way. So then that's not called a taruvis. It's not called the sfarim mixed. And they're being, therefore, I'm allowed to pull off a sefer that I want, even for use later in the day. Even if I could go over, or Friday night, go over and I go to my farm shank and a sefer that I want to use in the morning, chumash I want to use in the morning, I want to take it out now, maybe because I want to use it in a different room, and I want to take it with me to the other room, but I'm not going to use it now at all, not opening it now at all. Just want to take it for later, for whatever reason. So as long as they're clearly labeled, and you could tell what sefer you want, so then it's mutter to do it, even though they're randomly mixed. That's not considered borrowed from a teruvis because it wasn't considered mu'ruv. If they're not labeled, if they're totally not labeled, each one has black tape on the spine, and nobody, they're in between the middle binding them, and meanwhile all they did was tape them, and nobody yet wrote on the spine what they are, or cut out the little window, so you can see the name of the sefer, or whatever it is, but they're all disarm, and they're just, use your imagination, you can't read them. And the only way to tell what they are is you have to take it off and look into it. So that is teruvis. That the post can say is a teruvis because they're mixed and they're not distinct. The sefer you want is not distinct from the other sfarim. It's all mixed. If there are simanim, even if like the name is not on the sefer, but there's certain simanim that I know that the sefer I want, it has has a little code on the bottom, a K3 or whatever. And nobody, maybe nobody else knows what it is, but that's the sefer I want. The one that says K3 on the bottom is the particular sefer I'm looking for. So okay. Then that would be okay. But if they're identical on the side, there's no way of telling until you go over and look at them, then that's a problem. This is pretty much agreed to. I saw the Sefer Shus Yitzchak that he brings a note from the Sefer Orcha Shabbos, which I just didn't look there, but that apparently he says that both Ramosha and Rabbi Yashiv hold of this heter that I said, as long as they're labeled. But he brings there that the Orcha Shabbos says that Rosh Shlomo Zalman once, many years ago, said over in the shir that it's usher to do that, to take a sefer off, apparently even if they're labeled, that it's usher to take up a sefer for later in the day, considered a mixture. And someone at the shir said this over to the Chazon Ish, what the Shlomo Zalman said, and the Chazon Ish told this person that I disagree, and they said, I would like to give a message back to Shlomo Zalman, tell him, I'd like to tell them that I hold that it's mutter, that's not considered mutter. That's what's brought there. Okay, so the Maaser Rav Moshe. Now the question is though, and this is a point where I believe there's a machlokes between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish. What if the sfarim are all labeled, but the lights off in the room? It's dark in the room, so you go in there, you can't see. You can't see the sefer you want. The only way to get the sefer you want again is going to be by trial and error. You don't know.
First book on top of the pile is also part of the mixture, or because it's on top.
We're not talking about a pile yet. We're talking about sfarim on the shelf, standing up. Not too many piles.
Oh, right. It's not
not like that. I'm talking about a sfarim shelf. Oh, sfarim shelf on the shelf. That's what I'm talking about. So now they're all labeled. Finally, if the light would be on, I could see exactly what I want. But the light's off. So I believe that the Chazon Ish says that in that case. It's that even in that case, it's mutter, because the svarim are not mu'ruf. It's just the lights off. The svarim is still the same matzav that they are when it's light in the room. It just happens to be dark in the room. Dark in the room doesn't change the shame of the mixture, the shame of the name of the mitzias of the svarim. It's still considered. That they're not more of, that they're distinct. So the Chizkiyahu is mutter, but Rav Moshe is chalek, and Rav Moshe says that already, once the light's off, you can't tell. So now it's more of, by your perception, it's more of. In economy, it's an outside factor. But even though it's an outside factor, nonetheless, that makes it more of, the fact that you can't see. So what would be, let's say, now, let's say a person who's blind or extremely, you know, extremely poor vision. It's light in the room and everything, but he can't tell. Sorry, he can't, even if he gets really, he can't tell because his vision doesn't allow, or lack of proper vision, he can't tell. Anybody else can tell. But he knows if somebody would tell him, okay, take the safer you want is the third from the right. So could he go over and feel the third from the right and take it? And for use later, would we say, for sure, right? Even if it's dark in the room, making it that like it affects the sarim per se, it's not considered a teruvah. So certainly when it's light in the room, the sarim affected this particular individual, unfortunately, doesn't have proper vision, so he can't see. He can't tell. He can't tell, you know, but it doesn't affect the sarim. Shaz, what would Ramosha says that when the light is off, now they consider Mu'urav, so is the shame taruvus subject? We see, so the mushroom, you take the same room, and during the day, and there's no light, but there's it's light outside, and the shade is up, so fine, you can see. Now you pull down, someone pulls down the shade, room darkening shades, now you can't see this firm. So now it's just made it through, it's pick up the shade, and there's ice taruvus. I mean, that's the chara happens going through mushroom. The taruvus change, comes and goes based on the lighting in the room, which could be based on the, as I said, whether the shade is up or down. So would we go so far to say now that even if a person can't, he personally can't see, he personally can't tell whether the, which is which. So like for him, it's mixed. For him, unfortunately, everything is mixed. He doesn't have a vision, so everything is mixed. So we would say, no, that already maybe I should agree. It's not, the fact that this one person can't tell, or even if you know anybody in his massive can't tell, Lamai said it doesn't change. We don't go by, you don't go by the perception of a person who can't see whether something's considered through. As you go by, you know, the Rova Island, that would be more Mustaba, Mustaba, or Moshe would agree in that case. Okay, but so we have now, but these farm, depending on if they're labeled or not, when they're arranged that way, when they're. Let's take the other extreme. When they're on a table and they're scattered, sometimes let's say it was after a whole set of learning, or maybe the janitors came even and wanted to clean up the base medrash. They don't know where this far and go back, but they want to just put everything on the back table. You have that sometimes, unfortunately, if a base medrash is not cleaned up properly before Shabbos, especially during Ben Azmanim or during a Yontif sometimes. A lot of people come in, people who are, and they use this farm and put it back, and then the janitor comes in to prepare the base medrash and just piles everything on the back table, and you're like, the yo-yos, which is unfortunate. I mean, it goes back to our very first shear on covered sarm. But anyway, you have a whole table full of scattered sarm. So there, that's a taruvah, even if they're labeled, but yeah, you could tell them apart if you look carefully, but the fact that there are so many of them, it's not true if you had two or three svarim, but you have so many of them in a completely disorganized fashion, not standing neatly on the shelf the way they belong, but a disorganized fashion, so then that's for sure a taruvus, and you would not be able to think, you see, oh, I see a sefer there which I want for later, and I want to take it now. We mentioned two times ago, also from the Shvus Yitzchak, that taking a sefer when you come into shul in the morning, a Shabbos morning, and you want to take a sefer as you pass the Sharm Shank to learn with after davening, you cannot do it if it's a baruch, right? You, according to what we just said now, of course you could do it if they're labeled and arranged neatly, that you could do. But if they're not, if they're scattered like this in a baruch situation, so he said you can't do it. That's not called la'alter, it's not called immediate use. The chumash, the siddur and the chumash you want to use for this davening, that's called the altar. You're taking it for this, but what you're going to do after davening is already considered lachazman. So in this case, if you had this, you know, had this scattered svarim on the table, you couldn't take it. Or if you're coming to Beis Medrash in the afternoon to learn, and first I want to learn Gemara for the next period of time, and then 20 minutes before Milch, I want to learn the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. So as I'm walking by, oh, there, I see, I looked at the shelf. And so I looked for Chavetz Chaim on the shelf, and they're not there. Had there been a Chavetz Chaim neatly on the shelf marked, I could take it right now, even though I'm not using it until 2 hours from now, later. But if it's not on the shelf, so I pass by the table, and say, oh, there it is. It's in that pile of sperm. So you can't take it, because that would be considered barred. Now, the eighth would be, take it and learn from it right now. That doesn't mean you have to learn your tar 20 minutes later. Learn from it one line, one halacha. And that's he brings the Shrissi beans from Eliyashini. You become a mitzvah talmud from the sefer, so you take it to learn from it right now, and then And then you could take, same thing with the sefer you want to take to learn after davening. You can take it and learn the line from it right now. And then you solve the problem. But just stop to take it. You're in a rush. You want to just grab it and go. You could not do that. And even if less obvious case, but let's say even this, the pile, let's say that we have that pile over there. It's a pile of sperm over there. They're different and they're marked. You go next to them, you could tell. But that as well is considered a zerbora because they're not arranged the way they're supposed to. They're not standing side by side the way they're supposed to be on a shelf, the way sperm is supposed to be standing. Okay.
Could you sort of take a few out? Just to take out, let's say we pile like that. Three out. It's not so much of a
taboo thing. But how do you take those three out? Well, what you can do is like this. What the Chafetz Chaim says, if you have a taruvis, which is this type of taruvis, it's not a mess. It's a pile, a reasonably neat pile, and it's not ochel and psoles. It's all good stuff. I mean, it's not conventional psoles. It's all good. It's just that this part I want and part I don't want. So it has the technical in psoles, the gabbah hilchos borer, but it's not inherently psoles. So then the Chafetz Chaim said, the Mishnah Berurah says, and the Pesukim, you're allowed to go over to that mixture. And if especially if you can identify the one you want, I see it's down there, it's the seventh one down, you could take off one by one to get to the one you want for immediate use. For immediate use. The chiddush there is you're taking away, even though you're taking away ones you don't want. I can't just pull out the one I want. It's seven svarim, six svarim, eight svarim part of the top of it. I can't just pull it out. I'll have an avalanche of svarim. It's not covered as svarim. So I need to take it off. Or after a shalom zachar in a city where they wear the winter coats during the winter. And it's common, you go to shalom zachar or a similar type of gathering on Shabbos, you put down your coat on the couch. And then the next guy comes, and they have and you're ready to leave, and now your coat is, it's there at the bottom of the pile. But so you're allowed to take off because they're all good, and some of them are considered psilocybin bar, but none of them are actual waste material, and so you're allowed to take off what you want for immediate, but it's only for immediate use. So, to take off some of the sperm, that itself would be lachar bar. I mean, you can't do a moshesh of scattering them. That was sperm. You can't do that. So the best aid system would be to take the one you want, and even if you have to do it by taking off the other ones, but then use it la'alter. Use it immediately for a small, learn a line in that sefer right away, and then you'll Rav Moshe is a different heter, even that, what's he called, derech his askus. If you, the svarim on the shelf in a case where they're not labeled, and you want to, you want to take one off. And so Rav Moshe says, if you take it off, even if you don't learn from it, if you just take it off and you see it's not the one you see on the cover right away, it's not the one I needed. But if you just flip, open a little bit, flip through it and put it back, even if you don't learn, that's called, it's not called a derech borer. Derech borer is just to select. It's called there more derech hisas, because when you take it off and you open a little. So not everyone agrees to that heter, but Rav Moshe does say that heter. And as I said, the heter, which should be perhaps more, cool would be learning from a little bit. So now, according to what we're saying, let's say it's the gabbai is straightening up the shul Friday night after davening. It was a big crowd Friday night, a lot of sidurim off the shelf, and a bunch of chumashim as well. People take chumash to look into during when they have a chance. As well, Friday night, a lot of sperm off the shelf. So the gabbai wants to put them back on the shelf for Shabbos morning. So he goes around, puts us. Meanwhile, first he doesn't go find the safer on the table, take it back to the bookshelf, go back. He wants to pick them up, gather them up, and puts them in the back. Puts them back, and he makes maybe piles or maybe a little bit of a heap, a little bit, because as he's putting down, it's hard to keep piled. And now he wants to put them back on the shelf. Separate neatly, properly. So he wants to have the sidurim here, the Ashkenaz sidurim, and the Sfarad sidurim, and the whatever other. So that becomes a problem. If they're all sidurim, they're all the same, they're all Ashkenaz, there's no real difference between them, even if maybe some are a little newer, some are a little bit older, so these look a little nicer, though, or maybe it's some other fine, slight differences. So that would be called min echad. Even though he'd like to arrange him, he likes, this Gabe is a perfectionist. He likes, you know, you walk in, you see the ones with the shiny covers still. The ones that have the wording is like nice and shiny because they haven't been used much. He likes those to be one thing, especially when the person who donated them should walk in and say, oh, beautiful, beautiful 25, beautiful, fresh, this is there. And the ones that are a little bit more beaten or have tape on the side, put those, you know, those together. So, but they're all good. They're not missing pages. They're not, they're all usable. They're all good. It's just, that's the harkas in min echad. And all Ashkenaz, right? All Ashkenaz and all have all the pages. So then it's all min echad. So if he wants to separate it by that, that's okay to do, because that's not, it's not separating two minim. But if there are differences, if let's say some are Ashkenaz, some are Sfarad, that's not min echad. That's not to say it's min echad. The person who wants to daven Ashkenaz is not going to be too pleased with a Sfarad sitter, especially when, the other way around, certainly you run there in Sfarad Shabbos morning and you get an Ashkenaz sitter, you'll be done half the time. Just look at the Zimra, you're missing half of the Mizmorim and stuff. Most people in Shemoneh Esrei, Shemoneh Esrei, the weekday is harder with the wrong sitter, but that's the Harnam Minechad. And maybe some of the Sfarad Siddur attack are missing a lot of pages. You never know, it's potluck if you're going to get one that has the pages you need. So then that might be too minim. But if they're all this, and then you get in the shop, but if they're all the same, then you can put it back. Otherwise, what I'm saying is the Gabi could not separate them to put it back on the shelf for use Shabbos morning, because that would be considered borrowed for Shabbos morning. Okay, we'll pause here for now. There's one more week for Shabbos next week. As I said, this was the end of the Borah for now. I'm not sure what we'll do, but we'll do something else, something in, you know, more again in the Yuma next Tuesday, B'Hashem, and then hopefully again after Rosh Hashanah. After Rosh Hashanah, well, the next Tuesday will be Masa Rosh Hashanah, but no, I'm sorry, it won't be Masa Rosh Hashanah. Tuesday will be in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, and then the following week probably will be. I'm keeping stuff. Oh, we'll see. Then we'll plan ahead. But that's Jim next week, and we'll see what the topic to be announced. Yes.
And also last week.
Yes.
First of all, I'm trying to come in late.